Rob. So wonderful. God bless each of you. Welcome to Church of the Falls. If God has been good to you, would you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it is so nice to see all of your lovely faces and those I can't see online who are watching. Thank you for joining us. Church in the Falls, we are a family that...
Anyone.
Say it like you mean it. Church in the Falls is a family anyone can belong to. This is a safe place to come and learn about God, grow in your faith, wherever you're coming from. We are so honored that you are here. This is what we're all about. We are trying to embrace God, to encourage each other, and to equip the church to engage the world. And our ultimate goal of all of this is to what? To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. That's not head knowledge, right? This is the experience of God that we are looking for. And everything we're doing is geared towards that. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a comprehensive review of emotional healthy spirituality. I want to grab it all and put a bow around it and wrap the series up. So I'm going to avoid the review today. But we'll let you know where we're headed today. The topic we're going to study today is the concept of making a rule for life. A rhythm that we can bend around, a rhythm that we can follow and connect with. And one of the things that is really critical with that is one of the things that happens in life, Jesus talks about what comes out of us is what's on the inside of us. So what we take in is really important. Would you agree with that? What you read, your friends determine your future, what you listen to, what you study. And so one of the things I would like to introduce today, we have a very special guest and his wife. Go ahead and come on up, Mark. From Heartfelt Radio. And this is one of the ways we can consume some really good stuff. And I brought him in to tell us a little bit about that. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be with you here today. And we've visited with a few people out in the lobby that said, what's Heartfelt Radio? We haven't heard of this before. That's part of the reason why we're here today. And thank you very much for the kind invitation to come. We've had your pastor on the air with us. In fact, this past Wednesday for Bible study, we're at 91.9 on your FM dial. Heartfelt Radio started 2 years ago on Valentine's Day. How do you like that? There's some good marketing. And I'll tell you, there's no better time to start anything than at the beginning of a worldwide pandemic. And that's what we did. Didn't plan that one. We've got all sorts of neat stuff you can take with you today, and we'd love for you to take it. In fact, if you take it, we don't have to take it back with us. So we have hand sanitizers. Those are very timely for you. How do you like that? We got pens, and by the way, these are good ones. The last Christian radio station I was at in Connecticut, we had pens that really weren't all that good. In fact, I'd say right in front of the board of directors, these pens that we had there will last you about 10 days. These are really good. These are really great pens, and we got two colors back there. Kids, do you like the wristbands? We've got Heartfelt Radio wristbands for you. Mouse pads. Everybody can use a mouse pad. And these are great ways for you to remember Heartfelt Radio and to pray for us. Here's a very important one, and it's our program guide. And so if you want to find out what's going on Heartfelt Radio, we encourage you to take this, keep it in your Bible, keep it by your nightstand, by your radio, take it to work with you. You can listen to us online. There's three different ways you can listen to us online. By going to our website, heartfeltradio.org, where you can learn all about us and what we're doing, including our morning team, which is Mark and Gabe. Gabriel Collins, who goes to church here, is our morning co-host. And then we also have Bible teaching throughout the day that you can hear online and, of course, at 91.9 FM. I'm getting my old radio station confused here, 91.9 FM. But you can listen to us through our website. You can listen if you have the TuneIn app. You can do it that way. Or if you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, open Heartfelt Radio, and we're right there. We'll start playing for you. But the program guide has all that information for you. If you'd like to stay up to date with us, we have a sign-up sheet where you can get on our mailing list, and we don't bombard you with information either. We send out a few things per year and keep you in touch that way. We've got car magnets. You want to be an ambassador for us? As you're sitting at the stoplight, all it says is 91.9 FM. And it's a great way for that person behind you to go, I wonder what that's about, and to tune into Heartfelt Radio. And if you like to have things on your refrigerator, we've got these nice magnetic clips that you can take, too. And what's nice is that you can bundle them all up inside of one of these Heartfelt Radio bags. We've got two colors here. Take them to the grocery store with you because you can be our ambassadors out there at the store when you go grocery shopping. We are a ministry of Christian Healthcare Ministries that's based in Barberton. If you are tired of paying for high-priced health insurance that has high deductibles and you feel like you're not getting anything for your health insurance, we'd encourage you to check out Christian Healthcare Ministries. It is an affordable alternative to traditional healthcare insurance. And it's a wonderful thing. Like I say, it's been around for 40 years. We have about 450,000 members now across all 50 states. We have shared lifetime over $7 billion with our members. So it's really Christians helping to pay each other's Christians' medical bills. It works out very well, and it's a biblical concept that you'll find there in the early chapters of the book of Acts. So we have that information there for you today. But Heartfelt Radio is in existence to help you, and we're there for you 24/7. We have some of the world's great Bible teachers on our radio station, and some of them you've never heard of before. They're heard in other parts of the country, but they've never been heard here in Northeast Ohio, and that's what we wanted to accomplish, is to bring some of these world-class Bible teachers right here to Northeast Ohio. So this afternoon, we have Dr. Stephen Davey, who will be on at 2:30 in the afternoon, Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City. Then we have a woman who's on at 4:30 in the afternoon, who Billy Graham says was the greatest preacher in his family, and that's his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. So a lot of good teaching here this afternoon. And weekdays, we have David Jeremiah, Stephen Davey, Alistair Begg, and the list goes on and on. So pick up a program guide, tune us in. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to visit with you out and back at the table today. Thank you again very much.
Give me a hand, guys. Thank you for being here. Well, we couldn't pick a better day to highlight this. We're talking about Acts chapter 2 today, right? What he was referencing and what we're doing. But I do want to draw attention. If that next picture, I believe, with Gabe's picture on it. Gabe is there to the left. She couldn't be here today. I talked with her yesterday. She's streaming with us. So, hey, Gabe, with her mom this morning. I had that pre-scheduled. But when you see her next time, I want to make sure I draw her attention. That's the show that has invited me to speak. I got to speak last Wednesday morning. I'll be on this Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock. So if you would like to listen in, do that. I'll tell you what I think I love about this radio station. One is it's local and close. Two, it's extremely eclectic. You're driving to listen and you're hearing this song that you've heard your whole life that's really old. And then you hear this brand new song that came out last week. And then you hear another song from a completely different genre. And I like the eclectic nature of it. It's just unique, the different types of music that come on there. And, of course, the teaching as well. It's just a really neat station. So take advantage of that. That is right at the heart of what we're talking about today. How do we build our life in such a way that we're feeding ourselves well? Because that's not easy to do in a world that has a lot of fast food. And I think that is where we live. You think about our Western culture. I mean, we're more about information than formation. We're more about convenience. Convenience rules the day, right? Or having lots of options. That's kind of the American dream. I want to be able to have all the options that I want. Or maximize their time. Trying to organize every little detail. And it puts us in high stress. I know that's not any of you, but that's how I often live. I find myself, there's so many things going on. Or we're about comfort or feeling good or our happiness. Have you ever heard the phrase, I deserve to be happy? I don't find that in the Bible. That's the American concept. Not a bad idea, but to think that we deserve it, it bumps up against some very deep Christian values. And we have to be aware that as great as our world is, America is not the kingdom of God. It's just an amazing place that we get to live. That is friendly towards the kingdom of God. But the kingdom is different. And it's really important to notice that. All right, we focus on being entertained. We have a very skeptical culture. Anything that pops up, we want to be concerned about it. Independence, creativity, freedom, instant gratification. We pick the microwave over the crock pot every time. It's just how it works. Image, style, beauty, control. You might even could go so far as to say the American culture at its core is leaning towards narcissism. It's about me. Now, does that make America a bad place? I'd pick it over any other place in the world, over any other time in history. But don't make a mistake. America is not the kingdom. So I want to remind you that how do you build your life in the midst of a great place like America that has these sneaky little lies that make us get off track with what God has called us to be about? And that is really what emotional healthy spirituality is about. It's drawing us in to deal with our stuff so we can think clearly. We can make wise decisions. about how we organize ourselves. I mean, think about how we've shifted from community to more of an independence or an individual right kind of mindset. I mean, America was not started that way, even as great as it is. Most cultures don't think that way. We're community oriented, but not here. It's me and mine. How many of you know your neighbors well? If you're older than 40, maybe. Most of you don't. It's just the way of our world. Why is that? Authority versus preference. We think about how this idea of, you know, once upon a time, Jesus was exclusive. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. Now, well, there's lots of ways we can consider, and we want to be conscious of everybody. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be respectful of different beliefs. Of course we should. But what's going on? What are the lies that America has creeped into what we need to be thinking about? And I want to put it this way. The church in America, as great as it is in somewhat of a crisis right now. And I think the pandemic has just turned the heat up on that. And every time there's a crisis, and when I use crisis in this case, I mean when the world and its core values blends with the kingdom and its core values, and they both start looking a little too much alike. That's a crisis. Every time in history when that happens, there is a movement among God's people to remove themselves, to create a community or a commune. And they step out and they go to the desert and they hide out and they say, what we got to do different? We got to get away from that. And they build a rhythm that they all follow. It's a new rule. This is how we're going to live here. And it creates major movements that have impact over time. In the 3rd and 4th century, if you remember, Constantine in 331 became the Holy Roman Empire, right? The emperor became a Christian. Well, suddenly everything's different. Now it's illegal not to be a Christian. Well, that's sort of good, right? But not exactly. There was a crisis. Suddenly the church is being muddled with the world in a way that was unseen previously. So what happens? People leave. Remember Anthony that I talked about, who went out and lived 30 years by himself in the desert, had such an impact that one of his students was one of the organizers of what we have as the Bible now. That's a powerful impact, right? Anthony, just a young man, did his thing out in the desert. We see the Benedictine monks and the movements of that come out of that. They're saying, that's not right. And they gathered up 3,000-4,000 people out in the desert. Let's do it different. And they created a new rhythm, a rule of life. And that's where that term comes from, is this idea of a different way to live. And we build our life around this rule so that the world doesn't pollute. You see it again later, the Crusades, 1095 to 1291. Now, not only is it illegal to be Christian, but we're going to go kill Muslims because they are polluting. And if you don't confess your sins, we're going to torture you until you do for your own benefit. And many, many other horrific things in the name of God. We could look at that and be like, I'm embarrassed to call myself a Christian if it acts like that. Some of you have studied the Crusades. You know what I'm talking about. Well, that's a pollution. That's a crisis. What do we do? I don't want to be a part of that. And so people did again, like they always do. They moved away. They pulled out. And the Franciscan monks, Francis of Assisi, you've heard of him, started a whole nother movement that says, you know what? That's not what we want to be about. There's a crisis in the church. The Reformation. Right? Martin Luther, that's not right. And out comes our entire movement of churches that we have now. These are powerful moves in history. And they're all from people who said, that's not okay. Well, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is doing the same thing in America right now. There's movements, radical movements. You look at the music, Bethel, for example. The Johnsons live out on a farm. They're removing themselves from society. The Helsners, am I saying that right, Julie? Helsner family? They have like almost a commune. They're saying, this is not what we're about. We don't want all that. America's great and all, but this is just polluting what I know to be right. And they're stepping away and they're creating a new rule for life. How do we live this different? It's not about legalism, right? But it's about how do I bend my life around God in such a way that I'm not polluted by the world? You're tracking with what I'm saying. This is important, and most of us, I'm guessing, don't do that. And here's the thing. You either consciously choose it or you unconsciously choose it. I'm afraid many of us unconsciously choose it. And we need to go back and say, what do I choose to live by so that I can have a different way of living? And that's why we choose that Christian radio. You can listen to anything. They're all great music out there. But What do I choose? How do I bend my life around things that will feed me well, that will organize me? One of the words that we would look at is the Greek word trellis. If you think about a trellis, in fact, Kathy, now back you back here. We got a cool illustration of the twos, threes, and fours this morning. And just bring it up here. I'll hold the other side. You've seen a trellis, right? It's a foundational structure that you hang grapes on. And suddenly grapes get really big and healthy like this, right? Wouldn't you love a whole string of grapes like that? Just imagine. Use your mind's eye, right? The trellis is what we're talking about. How do we put something in our life that's sturdy so that when things hang on it, the fruit of our lives, they grow big and strong? They're not on the ground, right, where they get all jacked up. We have to lift them up and support them. That's what we're talking about. That's our rule of life. Thank you so much. That's a rule of life. This is what it's about. How do we build those things into our life? Standards. Again, it's not a rule-making thing, although it ends up being a rule because we have to make decisions. I'm going to choose to do this, not because God said on Thursday afternoon it has to be this way, but because for me, I need to build this into my life as a strength so that the fruit can grow on it. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? I'm not talking about legalism. Let's throw that out the window. I don't want that. That's not helpful. But for you individually and for our community here at Church in the Falls, what do we choose to do that puts structure and support? That's our rule of life. That's the trellis. It's like when you make tomatoes. You don't just put them out there. They flop over, right? As they grow healthy, they actually hurt themselves. So you have to put stakes and stuff underneath them to lift them up. How do you do that in your life? To protect your spiritual life, which is all that matters in this world, from the world around. Consciously. Well, Acts chapter 2, as Mark referenced, is the rule of life that the first church started with. And I think if you look at these four big ideas from this passage, you can find your own and our community. There's two different lanes here, right? Our community's rule of life. But they must be related to this because this is what the church started with. So let's read this together. I'll read it off the screen. Acts chapter 2. In fact, no, I've got some extra words. Let me read it from my Bible and we'll go from there. We're familiar with this, but I want us to really think about it critically today. They devoted themselves. That's important. That's the rule of life language. They chose to do it this way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And to fellowship, that's that word koinonia we talked about, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four rules of life. And they did them in a lot of different ways, but those are key things. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, say that with me, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Just think for a second before I read chapter 3, verse 1. Do you see the rhythm here? Do you see what's going on? Does this sound like a little thing? Or does it sound like a new way of existing in the world? That's a rule of life. So, what's your rule of life? What's Church in the Falls' rule in life? What are our rules? We show up at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, that's a rule. If you show up at 12, you're going to miss service, right? So there's an expectation there. That's how we've chosen to do it here. And that's one of many things. What else? I love the next chapter, verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock. Just pause for a minute. At the time of prayer. Does that sound like something they just haphazardly did once? The Jews would pray 2-3 times a day, structured. They walk in, do their thing, and go back to work. It was a part of life. It was a rhythm. That is what we have to be about. We've talked a little bit about three big things here. The rule of life is the one that we're wrapping this with. But the first one was the idea of the daily office. Remember? A couple times a day where we spend 3 to 5 to 7 minutes just being with God. That might involve some devotional time. That might involve some prayer time. Those are very important elements. But I'm really interested in what we're missing in America. Again, the rule we need to make here. That's why this is unique for us, is quiet. We don't do that very well. So I'm challenging you a couple times a day, just be silent. No agenda, just be with God. See where that gets you. And the second one is 24 hours each week. The Jews did it from sundown to sundown. I like that. It just works with my life better, but whatever works for you. The rule you need to make is 24 hours a day, one day a week, where you rest, you stop and rest, you savor, enjoy every moment of that, and you contemplate where it came from. And that's what these four images are about. That's a biblical Sabbath every week. This is a rule that we need to put into our lives. And then today we're talking about the rule of life as everything else. So we got these four big ideas. Devoted to the Word, the apostles' teaching, right? That sounds a little bit like the Bible. It's kind of our version of the apostles' teaching. We need to be in the Word. We need to be studying, learning, growing, maturing in the Word. Now, we all agree with that one. That's why we're people of the book here. But that's important. I don't want us to forget that. That's an important part. I would challenge you as a rule of your life to read through the Bible at least every couple years. I'd say if it takes you 2 or 3 years to read through the Bible and you're on a schedule, that's a good one. Do that. If you can read it 1 year and in 12 months, or maybe even really pump it up to like 4 or 5 months and just dig deep for the sake of exposure, and then maybe slow it down and take 2 or 3 years, pick a different translation, move around, do whatever is good. There's so many opportunities out there, but at least once every 2 or 3 years, you need to be reading through the Bible. That should be a rule in your life. If it's not, you're missing out. And more we're getting away from that. The daily prayers, like Peter and John, right? We just should be some routines in your life. Hearing from God's Word is a critical part. We need to devote ourselves to that. Now, that's all I'm going to say on that, because I think we do that. We just need to be about it. The second one is fellowship. This is the one we're hurting on. Koinonia. Remember we talked about how this word, literally an interpenetration. It is a very intense word. It is one of extreme accountability, vulnerability. Remember the 59 one another's? How do you do that? When's the last time you've one another'd? Confessed your sin one to another, carried the burden of one another, shared with your resource from another because they needed it. One anotherness is a huge part of the Christian walk, and they devoted themselves to it. How do you do that in Northeast Ohio in 2022? It has got to be a conscious decision, or it will not happen, because we think individual in America. This is a problem for us. That's why we're trying to talk about our groups. We're trying to create more groups and trying to dig deeper in that. So there's opportunities for you to have those one another's, because they're so pivotal to your spiritual development. That's why we're a family that... Why is that? Because we know that community is at the heart of God's business. He is building community. We have to focus on that. That word koinonia, and we need a whole series on that. It's a really intense word that we need to really focus on. A third thing is the breaking of bread. Now, this, I think, is communion, definitely. We try to do that every week. I think it's an important element in our heritage as well as in the church. First century church, they did it every week, pretty clearly from the text. There's a consistency to it. And I think with that was the love feast. We read about that. People got together and they had meals together. For us, it might be coffee and tea and meals. I think we have all kinds of traditions in America that are really cool. We need to use those for the kingdom. We need to be about each other's business. That community around a meal, it makes us all normal. Everybody eats. Remember that book, Everybody Poops? It starts with eating. That's how it works. You can sit down next to the president. Guess what? He eats and he poops. We're all the same. There's something about sitting down at the table that neutralizes that. Jesus came eating and drinking. We've talked about this. This is an important element. When is the last time you've intentionally sat down with someone to eat, to have a cup of coffee, to connect with them as a person? This is so important. And communion is part of that. So Easter week, we got some exciting things we'll tell you more about as we get closer to it. But we're going to call it Easter week. And the goal of this is we're going to give you some things to focus on from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. With a Friday service, this can be very short and sweet and very intense. You're going to leave quiet and silent and be sad on Saturday as Jesus is in the tomb. And then we're going to come on Sunday morning. We're going to celebrate, doing something a little different this year, right? And we're going to have a love feast where we're going to share communion together before we come to worship and praise the way we think about here in the fellowship hall. More to come on that. And we're going to share communion because that's part of what they devoted themselves to in the first century. Then there's prayer. Corporately and individually, we need to be praying with others and individually. I think of at least three different ways to consider this. There's the talking to God. God, this is what I'm hurting with. This is what I need. Would you provide for me? The petition, right? That's very important. Another one is listening to God. It's quiet. It's listening to His Word. It's understanding the Holy Spirit is nudging me here. That's part of prayer. The Holy Spirit actually speaks on our behalf to God, the Bible says. And then there's just being with God, the communion and the hanging out. It's koinonia with God is prayer. It's that real intimate relationship with God, being silent before Him. How do you do that? How do you intentionally choose these things into your life? What is your rule that allows that to be your priority over work and family and life and fun and weekends away and all the things that are important to you? Because this needs to be at the heart of it. So I just really want to push us on that. This idea, these things are commitments that we have to make. And how we do it, very intentionally, to develop a trellis for all of our life to hang on. We want to avoid things like thinking of God as the junior partner in our firm. Right? He's the center of our life. And America allows us to think that way. Very easily. Can you imagine if we were being persecuted for our faith here today? First question is, how many of us would be here? I think you all know the answer to that. Second would be, how would you feel about God if you had to risk a lot to be with Him? It would change your perception. God doesn't give us that choice. That is how it is. The pearl of great price. We leave it all to go for God. That's what this is. We have a comfortable life in America and we should thank God for it, okay? Embrace that. That's part of the savor. We need to thank God every week that, look, I got a steak I can eat. God is so good to me. A lot of people don't even have food and I'm eating a steak. Praise God for that. Don't throw the steak away. Don't feel guilty. Embrace it. But understand, that is not your entitlement. That is a blessing from God. How do you build your life in such a way that you don't live out of entitlement, but rather out of a sense of purpose for God, where every decision is filtered through that matrix? God is not fire insurance for the hell we don't want to go to. That's not what God is. It's about community and building. Back in the day, early first century, the catechumen were teachings that the early Christians would use. Because, my goodness, if you were a Gentile, you didn't know how to live right. So we're going to teach you how to do it. Here's the rules. Now, again, I am anti-legalism, but when are rules appropriate? When we need a way to live, and we should change them often, but they need to be something that we build ourselves around. If you say to yourself, like the New Year's resolution, I'm going to choose to not do this or to do this this many times a week. You can change that, right? It's your resolution. But why do you want to make it at all? That's the point. That's a rule of life. How do you build your life around rhythms that truly bless you in the kingdom? How do you set up your life so that the love of God and the love of others is at its core, everything you do? David said this in Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. It's a good visual of how David chose to live, right? Everything he did was revolved around centering himself around God. And David's a great example. He knew who he was. He knew who God was. And he was able to take out Goliath because of it. We talked about that earlier. We have a pretty good DNA here at Church in the Falls. I would say some of the things that are part of our trellis already is we're very Bible-centric. Fairly conservative. We believe the Bible speaks and we need to listen to it. Well, that's great. A lot of churches don't have that. A lot of people I know, pastors who... they have to be careful how they teach the Bible because people don't take it as important. So they have to sneak it in and gently nudge them towards it. Believe it or not. It's a different mindset. We have that here. So that's great. The Lord's Supper, we celebrate that every week. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. The autonomy of our churches, the freedom to not be bound by a bunch of denominational rules. Local leadership. I think it's a biblical concept that is really serving us well to grow. It's part of our trellis. But what do we need to do more For example, how do we serve our community with no agenda? We have a fall festival, a big party for the whole community to come in. That's great. How do we do that more? We need more of these things where the world goes, oh, I know Church in the Falls. And they've got a label for us that's positive. How do we do that? Or dealing with the poor and the underprivileged. What systems do we have in place? What systems do you have in place to do that? It's critical. Small groups, are you a part of one? Is it something that you hold as important, valuable? It's not an optional idea. We are part of God's family. We are in community, whether we choose to live that way or not. House churching. The New Testament were full of house churches. They had community every day. We just read that. How do we do that here? Dealing with racial barriers in our own community and outside the church. How do we do that? Do we have a conscious way to do it? Because in America, that's a major issue that we need to address. How do we do that well and lovingly? Growing in intimacy versus the surface. That's back to that koinonia, right? Intimacy is about intumisi. How do we make ourselves vulnerable? Jesus made it clear that the evildoers are the unknowables. To be unknowable is to do evil, according to Jesus. Don't miss that. How do you make yourself vulnerable to others and to God? Consistently. Private worship, just being with God versus trying to do something for Him. And there's many other things. I just want to throw those out there. How do you intentionally do that so that your life revolves around that as its center? And work and family and fun fit into that. And there's plenty of room for it, I promise. I want to set this next piece up with this great... I wish Carter were here. Oh, he would love this. Carter's in Orlando right now with the band, but push play on this video.
The way I see it, we have two choices. We wait until they get into position and launch a siege on their terms. Or we rush out there, catch them unaware, then we can escape to your ship at the palace.
I can't abandon Mos Espa. These people are counting on me.
Okay, then. We'll both die in the name of honor.
You sure you want to stay?
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Now, how many of you got goosebumps? You're Mandalorian fans, right? All right? This is the way. We're going to die in honor. Did you know the Bible says that we're Mandalorians? Did you know that? Don't believe me. Acts 22:4. We are followers of the way. What they're expressing is a biblical concept. As followers of Jesus, we are followers of a way. It's a rule of life. It is a rhythm that we live by. And it means we might have to die by it as well. We are followers of the way. I don't think the Mandalorian is unique. I think they stole that right out of the Bible. I'd love to find the history about it, but that's the reality of what we're living in right now. So what is your way? How do you follow the way? The rhythm of life that sets the tone for everything you do. If it's unconscious, someone else is dictating that. It must be a conscious decision. You must stand there and say, I will have to die for this because it is not what I want, but it is the way. In fact, we ought to start doing that. We're going to give our life to Jesus because it is the way. And you say, it is the way. Is that too? Okay, we'll talk about it later. I think we're really on something good here. We need to hang on to it, all right? Holistic health. So I want to ask you, what is your way? What is your next step for your trellis? Don't take them all on. It's too much. Pick one or two things. Holistic health is the goal here. Spiritual, find an area to serve. Jesus says that when you serve, we are more like Him. So there's a great way to build part of your trellis. How do you serve? You can volunteer somewhere. Or you can do so many things. There's so many ways to do that. Get involved. Pick something and do it. It's not about what you do. It's about the fact that you're doing it. Or emotional. Join our EHS class. For the love of all things holy. We are offering something really powerful here. We're going to do it again. Don't miss it next time. Amen. Relational. Get into a small group. Find a way to fellowship with another. Find an accountability partner where you meet weekly. And you share the stuff that struggles with you. I sin this way and I need help. Would you pray for me? And be honest. hard to do these things. That's what God has called us to. Or what about mental? You know the best way to learn? To teach. Pick a class. I want to learn about 1 Corinthians. I'm going to study it and I'm going to teach it. And when you teach it, you will learn it. What a great way to strengthen the mind. Or how about the physical? We got some really exciting things. I'll let John tell us about that later with our physical. Hey, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit here, right? This is something important. How do you take care of your body? Maybe you need to choose to eat or not eat something, or choose to exercise in a certain way to take care of God's stewardship of your body. How do you do that? That's a great way to build a trellis, right? Or communal, just being silent with God. Expression, art, music, write, read, celebrate. Part of the savoring moment. There's such beauty of God that can come out of that. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. David wrote lots of psalms. He was a creative guy. I invite you to do that. Maybe that is what's missing in your life. Do it. It's a great thing to start with. Or mission. Go tell someone about your experience with God. Put the Bible away. Just tell them what God did in your life. That's all you got to do. Make that a part of your existence. Right now, media. You should all have access. If you don't, let me know. I'll get it to you. Pick a study. Hey, let's go to Starbucks. We're going to watch this. I want to talk about the subject matter. It's 20 minutes, five times. I'll buy the coffee. Bam. You're just changing the world. You didn't even know it. But it's about your exercise. It's not about the person you're going to help. It's about you doing it. It's the wrestle that happens, right? Or rest. Take a commitment that 24 hours a week, I'm going to be on Sabbath and make it a commitment. Daily office, twice a day, five minutes. I'm going to choose to be silent. I'm going to see what happens. Eating, fasting, not eating. Pick a day, pick a half a day. Do it on purpose. Why? Not because it's legalism, it's a rule. We don't need that. But because you're choosing to build a trellis which reminds you of whose you are. You could pick it. The problem is all of us have this freedom. You can't tell me what to do, and I don't want to be a legalist, so you just do nothing. I just do nothing. I include myself in this. Let's challenge us to do better than that. Pick something. I would challenge you, and I think this is right in line with this entire series. If you want to get in that bottom part of the iceberg there, I challenge you to two things. One is contemplative. Pick the Sabbath, pick the quiet time, pick the study, the reading. Those are very important things, the contemplative. And then pick something in emotional. How do you deal with your anger? How do you deal with your frustration? Go to a counselor and work out that stuff from your childhood. Deal with the neighbor. Pray for your enemy. The harder stuff. Do one of each. You do those two things, it will transform you. Contemplative and emotional. In America, again, we're looking for rules for our world. In Northeast Ohio, in America, we don't know how to deal with our emotions. That's why we go behind Facebook and we yell. Because we don't know how to deal with it. You need to work on that stuff. That is number one on our list. That is why this series is here. So deal with something emotional and deal with something contemplative. Put those together and watch what God will do. Make a commitment this year. That is part of our trellis. Remember the story in Luke 18 where the Pharisee and the tax collector go into the temple? Right? Pharisee's like, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like everybody else. I'm so glad I'm not as bad as. And the tax collector goes, I can't even look at you, God. I'm so broken. I'm a sinner. Help me. And Jesus says, which one of them came out justified? The tax collector. Now, was it because the tax collector beat himself down? No. The problem was not the tax collector's beating himself down. That was not Jesus' point. It's that, well, let's not be like the Pharisee and compare ourselves to everybody else and judge everybody on the outside. That's not what we're about. That doesn't get you anywhere. The yaya and the gossip. Let me ask you this. Do you have to brag for it to be called pride? Or could it be pride just because of the way you think, feel, and choose to live? Humility is the opposite of pride. It's a different frame of reference. C.S. Lewis has said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's a perspective shift. Or pride is about who is right. Humility is about what is right. See the difference, right? That's huge. The Pharisee is concerned with who is right. I'm glad I'm not like that. But what is the tax collector concerned with? My behavior is not right. Now, he went a little far and started knocking himself down. But that's not Jesus' point. What I want you to see is, don't spend your time beating yourself down. That's not what God is teaching us. He's saying, don't be like the Pharisee and go out and judge everybody because you have your own stuff. Take the plank out of your own eye, he says in another place, right? Then you'll see clearly to help others. It's about understanding our place before God. That's why when we know ourselves, we're able to truly know God. And I love this comparison. Focusing on the other's failures versus realizing how far they fall short and have an overwhelming sense of a need to grow. Which are you? Or if you're prideful, self-righteous, overly critical, fault-finding, do you find all the problems with everybody else? Or are you compassionate, forgiving? Looks at their life through a telescope and others through a microscope. That's that eye thing again. Or looks at the best of others. Looks down on those who aren't as spiritual or committed as they are. This is what you ought to be doing if you're really Christian. Don't do that. Just deal with yourself. Realize that only God knows a person's heart. You stand with your own trellis before God. How do I do this? And how do I help others do it well? It's about positive thinking towards others. Pride will always be the longest distance between people. I think this is brilliant. That's why we don't have koinonia, because America allows us to be individuals who judge everybody else. Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody wants to say it. That's America, right? It's not kingdom, though. That's pride. Again, a whole other series we could take time with. I just want to get you thinking. How do you build a trellis to avoid that? Pride is thinking you can earn anything from God. Humility is knowing that you can't. It's just understanding your place before the Lord. It's being honest about yourself and hopeful about others. How do you live into that? What trellis can you put? I love the second part of the verse in Luke 18. The message says it this way. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you'll become more than yourself. Boy, what a capture. Look at David, right? Little baby boy out in the field, and he's taking down Goliath. More than himself, right? He understood who he was. That's what this is all about. How do you build a rule of life? Understanding what you really need to do in order to be what God has wanted to be. And I'm hoping I'm loud enough for you to hear, not legalism, where we say this is how it always has to be done, and we pass it down to the generations. That is not helpful. That is what we typically do in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It worked for a while. It does not work now. We have to do something different. How do we as Church in the Falls build a rule of life where our rhythms are such that we are koinonia together, devoted to prayer, devoted to the things that God has called us to be, to communion, to study of the Word? How do we live so that that is the centerpiece of us individually and corporately? Now, I'm not giving you a lot of questions, I know, but I want you to really think about this. That is what's missing in our world in Northeast Ohio. And that is why people are removing themselves from church. I don't got time for organized religion. Why? Because it's stupid the way we do it sometimes. Let's be honest. It's all about showing up and checking our box. That is not what God is interested in. He wants us to be a family here. How are you that? Challenge yourself to one or two things in this next year that will allow you to be a little sharper in those areas. Now, I've got a glorious 4-hour summit to continue this thought, but we're going to stop right now. But I want you to just really think about how important this is. This is what all this series has been about. Because at the end of the day, our emotional health is what gets in the way of these things. Good Samaritan, I don't want to get dirty from the unclean man. He might be dead. I'm late to an appointment. I can't help that guy. And here comes the Samaritan. The emotional health is understanding what things are, knowing our place before it, and doing what we need to do. Even the hard stuff, especially the hard stuff. I want to pray for us. We're going to sing a song, and if there's a way that you need to respond today or tomorrow, you can come up here and find me, go back to our prayer room right outside the exit room. Reach out during the week. Let's get this done, church. This is what we're all about. And don't forget Heartfelt Radio. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. Don't miss that. And I'll be on the radio this Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock. If you want to listen, I don't even know what I'm talking about yet. I got a couple ideas. I'm working on it, but it should be fun. Would you join with me? Let's pray to God and ask Him to bless us. Father, we pray that You would pour Your Holy Spirit into us to nudge and move us into the direction we need to go. Father, I would like for us not to have to leave the church in order to be with You. But if so, then so be it. But Lord, I pray that we as a body here could individually and corporately get involved with that trellis, that rule of life, that rhythm that creates safe places for us to grow in all the areas of holistic health. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be devoted to those four things that are so important. Show us ways to do it in America in 2022 in Northeast Ohio, that we may honor you and live out your calling in our life. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would help us to love you the way we need. And even more importantly, Lord, with all the commandments hanging on this one idea that we love each other well. Help us, Father, as we strive to do that and to pull away all the American blurred images of what that means. But to live the way you've called us to live. God, we praise you, we thank you, and we honor you today. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand together and worship.